Standing on the veranda of an old farmhouse, Sarah says, "I've got a welcome mat that my aunt gave me for when I find a place to call home." A beautiful moment in a current TV program with themes of displacement, disenfranchisement, all that marginalisation, and yet showing the innate drive that I think is within all of us to feel settled and to find a place to call home. So as Sarah accepts the offer of hospitality from Roy, she explains, "It's a Jewish tradition." And Roy replies, in his very awkward way, "Oh, I'd be honoured to wipe my feet on it." Sarah's referring to the Jewish tradition of the mitzvah, or good deeds, of hospitality. And Jews have for millennia been inspired by Abraham, who welcomed the Lord as he welcomed three wayfarers or strangers to come into his place. And we read about that in Genesis 18. Abraham gathered them in for a drink, a ceremonial wash, a rest and a meal. And Abraham then, in doing this, attuned himself to their needs, so served them really appropriately. He provided also for their departure, so he launched them onward for the journey. Thus, welcoming a stranger, hosting around their needs, and blessing them as they go on their way has for millennia been integral to Jewish worship service, although, as this TV show illustrates, has not always been afforded to Jewish people. Well, with this in mind, I want us to consider today the ecclesia, the church that we're meant to be. The word in the New Testament, or the Koine Greek, has been translated as church, but I think this is a bit of a disservice. It's actually the word church coming from an Old English, and prior to that, Scottishy sort of word of kirk, which has a different connotation. I think ecclesia is better probably translated as assembly, or some say called out to gather in. And I'm wondering if we consider this sense in the light of how the earliest Christian forms, we might get some insight to take us back to the basics of how church can actually be a place to call home for many more people in our communities. So we're going to read from Acts 16 if you've got your Bible, so it'd be great if you could turn to that. If not, you can listen to my dulcet tones. So the context here is the arrival of the Apostle Paul to Macedonian town of Philippi, an outpost for the Roman military. And that's, if you were looking at your Google map, would be now known as Northern Greece. And as we read this, I think I'd like you to think about ecclesia as providing welcoming, withing, which I'll explain later, and launching. So Acts 16 and verse 13. "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." Down in verse 40, after a lot of other stories, "After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the believers and encouraged them. Then they left." Go down there. So firstly, in this passage, I notice how Paul approaches the faith community that was operating outside the city walls or town walls. It was common for Jews who were scattered further afield or without temple or later synagogue to meet and at a place like a stream and make it a place of prayer where they could actually have like their cleansing rituals and keep up some of those traditions. with Bevan and Trish, actually, we went to this place just a few years ago, and we experienced, I don't know if you remember, guys, just flooding rain, and the whole place was swamped. But I could tell that this ordinarily small stream under the trees would have been a beautiful place for prayer. Really delightful out there. And for me, I like getting out into nature. I sort of find a sense of divine and prayer in it. So I thought it was beautiful. And I imagine Paul with his companion, who's probably the writer is Luke, who was a Greek, of course, doctor, and would be valuable in this team because of his Roman connections and language, seeing as they're in a Roman town. And there would be others in the entourage. They all gathered at this place with the group of praying women. And I'm mindful as I look at this passage of Luke's succinct writing style here, but the word expected just pops out of me. They went outside the city wall expecting to find a place of prayer, anticipating, it seems, to become part of the gathering. And indeed, there's an immediacy about how they sat down and seemed at home. Too easy. I don't know. It's sort of an easy place to come in to pray here, and I really congratulate you on that. And I said to Peter, I feel like I'm preaching to the converted, but he asked me to do this as reinforcement, if that's the case. But so often I get to visit many churches, actually, it's not that easy to sit down and discover this is a place of prayer when I go to church. So let's make sure that we keep doing it. It's really an unusual circumstance because Lydia of Thyatira herself is a stranger in this place and seems yet at home with women who seek to worship Yahweh. They're in Philippi, an army town built to house Roman legionnaires who would rather disenfranchised themselves. But you know, obviously Lydia has a niche here, as do others in this trading in the town. However, at the place of prayer with no Jewish men, they can't actually fulfil many of the ceremonial rituals because mostly you have to have at least 10 Jewish men to do them. So they got back to the basics of prayer, but they would have welcomed in a rabbi by Paul and his strange rabble, and they were a bit of a rabble if you read on. They would have liked to have him there, I'm sure, to teach them. Yet Paul, like Sarah in the TV show, seems to metaphorically carry his own welcome mat. He seeks a place of prayer and goes on to accept hospitality both in Lydia's sacred space and then, as she persuaded him, in her home. Note she persuades. I wonder sometimes, in our sense of marginalisation, shame, and perhaps even, I notice fear of rejection some people hold, we wait for an invitation. I'd like to suggest that regardless of our experiences of church, the ecclesiology of the New Testament is based on the behaviour of Jewish tradition, wherein the welcome mat is a given and the welcome is a given. It's not pretentious to carry your own sense of welcome to the faith community where you wish to settle for a season. It is actually your responsibility to anticipate being welcomed in and also to seek out the hospitality and opportunity for being hosted as a guest in the faith community. So the welcome mat, as Sarah talks about and is known in the Jewish world, is laid out by both the host and the guest. But each of us has a responsibility to walk over the threshold of church and enter into the gathering of faith community as an ongoing experience of assembling together. I guess regardless of our painful experiences at times. In the show, I really love the way that Roy is the one who offers Sarah hospitality, because Roy himself is marginalised and a misfit, an old digger who lost his sons in the war and, you know, comes across quite hard at first, but soft in the middle. And he's on the outskirts of town. I wonder if this marginalising motivated him to do a better job at hospitality. Not all of us are so motivated. I come across many people who, for whatever reason, don't sense welcome in the fellowship of God. Or maybe they've lost their sense of it, feel disenfranchised from the local, perhaps the denominational, or even the universal church. And many people actually come into my rooms where I was work as a therapist, and talk about how they can't share their sense of not fitting in to local church or denomination. Some even experience an existential crisis with it, this of feeling really abandoned and unwanted by God. And I actually know what it is at this point to give up and to be in that place described by the desert fathers and mothers of really the dark night of the soul. And yet, funnily enough, at the same time, I continue to attend church. In fact, I continue to be an ordained minister. So while I experience Mount Hawthorne Community Church as welcoming of the stranger, I'm quite aware of the possibility of people here, maybe familiar to you in this setting, actually could feel very strange or estranged at times. And I know in this gathering there are people that are very aware of welcoming such people as refugees and asylum seekers to our shores, particularly laying down a mat for them because they, particularly on those bridging visas at the moment, won't know if they'll ever be able to lay down a mat for themselves. I know some of you advocate for these people, and yet sometimes right in our congregations we have people maybe who've been church members for a long time who don't feel particularly like they fit in or particularly settled. So the gathering of ecclesia needs to attend to the basics of ongoing hospitality, which practical theologian Henry Nouwen names as the responsibility of every Christian. And so hearing your announcements today really warmed my heart. And, you know, I just think it's a wonderful thing that you keep inviting people in to church and in your home. Yet hospitality goes beyond welcoming to what I call withing. So with, in, being with, within. I like this term. I've pinched it from a theological paper which I really like, and it's entitled Withing, A Psychotherapy of Love. So it looks at that nexus of theology and psychology and how we do relationships through deep empathy and understanding, or withing. In faith community, I think the idea is sort of explained by New Testament theologian Gilbert Bilezikian, who suggests ecclesia is being a community of oneness. Henry Nouwen calls it the hosting and guesting of Christian community. I think it's also the sacrament of presence that in my setting of my ordination, which is Churches of Christ, we practice by meeting as the Lord's people on the Lord's Day for the Lord's Supper. So communing with the understanding of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as we did today. Withing for church is about the covenantal relationship of a called out people. Withing is what we observe as God's heart in the creation story. It's the essence of Trinity, and it's what seems often lost and in need of restoring, as we hear in the cry of Yahweh in the garden, Adam, where are you? Humanity, where are you? Sister, brother, where are you? Withing seems a natural process for both Abraham and millennia later, this ecclesia in Philippi. Abraham, her host, offers a process of hospitality as the three men make agreement with him. So there's a covenant for being together, an agreed process for the withing to manifest. And in the narrative of Acts 16, we quickly get to the point of Paul's withing as he sits down and speaks to the gathering. It's sort of like what an itinerant teacher might do, but they allowed a space for him to be with them in the way of his giftedness. So his role and gifts are being exercised immediately as a natural part of the setting. I think there's quite a lot of trust going on here. I do get a bit concerned for Lydia at how quickly, and I, you know, of course Luke writes in this way as well, but she opens herself up and to foreigners in this town. And you can see later on in the passage what a risk that actually is, because Paul's crew make quite a fuss in town, don't they? I think we can take too long for this level of trusting in church, although trusting people people obviously is a delicate business. Mavericks can set the church back, and I know that when I was a pastor this happened too often. However, mavericks like Paul perhaps can lift us out of complacency and redirect our sense of purpose and mission. Which I hope I'm not one today. Oh, well, maybe I do. I don't know. Sometimes it's good to have a maverick. So opening up sufficiently with a stranger or even each other to learn from others, to understand each other more deeply, to offer them restoration of their needs, to find oneness of the one body. That seems to be church. We are called ecclesia, we're called to oneness, drawing out to draw in. Sometimes withings as simple as finding a common connection and celebrating this unity with diversity. And as we read in verse 14, I just love the way we can leave it to the Lord to do the rest. What does he say? What's the text say? It says, opening her heart, Lydia heard the message and received it and was moved by it. There was divine movement. You know, our withing can be very primitive, but we can have confidence that when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them, as Jesus says. So withing is the type of hospitality that is a two-way process. It's not just one way. And there's a blessing for the host and the guest in this. Abraham received the blessing of, you know, finally getting to bear children in old age. And for the host Lydia, with her prayer companions, there was quite a response to withing with Paul. As we read in verse 15, she was baptised. I think this is a lovely example of the ecclesiology which goes belong, believe, behave. You've heard that probably, haven't you? That challenge of why don't we work around belong and then believe and then behave as a pattern of church. It was a bit different to what I was schooled in, which was behave first, and particularly behave as I do. Believe what we tell you to believe. And then we'll interview thoroughly by committee meeting, and then by members meeting to see if we'll let you belong. I think ecclesia in this is actually belong, believe, behave. So let's get it the right way around. I think church, to be really church, needs to start with belong. And it seems that from this passage that means put out a welcome mat, do some withing. And thirdly, I think church needs to be, and this might sound strange, but you need to be, we need to be, a launching pad for people to serve. Launching pad. And because I know there's some psychs among our gathering here, I'll just mention in developmental psychology, as I'll know, through the lens of attachment theory, we consider it very difficult without first knowing the parental secure relationship attachment base. How's that for a lot of jargon? So the secure attachment of a parent relationship, it's really difficult to launch out into life as a young adult, well enough developed to have this ego that's strong and able to hold through the anxiety of that and successfully go into the adventure of life and adulthood with appropriate risk taking, of course, as young adults do. It's trying to like springboard out with the board semi-attached at the base. You know, have you ever done diving? I jump into the pool, I can't dive. But anyway, if you go out on the springboard and you try and bounce up and down, it would be pretty scary if the base isn't securely attached, wouldn't it? Like, I would actually want to come back to ground. So to have a good spring, you need a strongly attached base to bounce well and get a good launch out into life and relationships. So that's sort of the theory. A healthy launch requires this strong base. And of course, in attachment terms, holding our children lightly and releasing them from the apron strings is all part of this rite of passage of launching out. Don't want to have the apron strings while they take off. So if I apply this to our faith development then, I think we're responsible as church to provide a secure base for spiritual development and service, growing people up in our churches to be able to launch out. Ecclesia isn't really family as we know it to be in the nuclear sense of the word. There are parallels with the biblical language around father, sons and daughters, households, family. In my reading, I sort of look at it through this lens of security in the divine and in the koinonia of fellowship. And as we see both in the Abraham and the Lydia stories, and is the meaning of the word translated as family both in the Hebrew and Greek Bibles, they're often inviting people into the faith community of an extensive household. So faith and relatives and employees and seasonal workers and wayfarers and settlers, it all comes in to be one big, really, ecclesia. So church, like the biblical families, welcomes in, stays with, and then launches out its people. As an aside, I just want to say, I think we need to, in churches, be really careful about projecting expectations of family onto the way we do church and the people therein. I think often these are unconscious, and we bring them from our family style and culture. And look, it's very confusing because we have people from so many different places in our churches today. I grew up in Tasmania, and rural Tasmania, and yes, it was rather Amish, really, because I was related to most people sitting in church next to me a lot of different ways, which is why I married a Jewish guy from Perth to get out of there. It's getting a bit inbred. One of my cousins I worked out, I'm related through seven different connections. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not... Now, there's a downside to that, as you can imagine. I didn't want to have children in that context. But on the other hand, church was as familiar as family. It was as familiar as the little, you know, place I grew up in, which had just one main road through it and a couple of farmhouses. You know, I knew how to be in church. I knew what church was from that modelling. But I don't think it's the same now. And I felt very strange in a lot of, I don't know, places of faith in coming to Perth. It was a real shock coming to my husband's church for a start. So I think we have to be really aware that we have to look after people in a way that strengthens their base around the essentials and then launches them out into a world where they'll have unfamiliar experiences of life and of church. For me, Lydia and her household offer a launching pad for Paul and his entourage as they are strengthened from this hospitality to launch into service, and we notice even in this passage of teaching, professing faith, liberating the maltreated, even serving in jail, surviving a violent earthquake there, and then eventually leading the jailer and his household to faith, baptism and being filled with joy, which then promoted further hospitality as the jailer invited them in to his home. And so I think this secure base stuff is really important because Lydia shows us what can be the results of this hospitality. So then, of course, the apostle springboards with the gospel into the Mediterranean areas of Europe and to Rome. Ecclesia then, as an assembly of faith in Christ, provides a secure base for the development of our faith and worship or service. It's our job to provide a launching pad for people as they are now more robust and resilient in the kingdom service because of our welcoming and our withing. So there's also letting go. So can a church be a place to call home? On a daily basis, I have the privilege of hearing story after story of people's experiences, expectation, joys and disappointments of church. And just as the word church conjures up so much emotion, so religion seems to conjure up even more. So it's rather fraught. But out of this, I've become increasingly concerned with ill-considered and sometimes inappropriate expectations of church, and we need to have folk more conversations about it so we don't have marginalisation and people feeling like they don't fit in. So my hope in being here in this church is that you might provide these conversations. I have too many people seeking to do that in a therapy room because they don't feel safe in their churches. I'd like to work my way out of that job, please. Although I find it very privileged. So let's continue here in this place with the hosting of open conversations about such experiences. I sort of, as an aside, notice the text today points out that we're supposed to speaking up and listening to matters of faith. We need to get that balance right. We need the storytellers as well as the story listeners. So check yourself out. Can you do both and hold the balance of both? Just simple things like that help make people feel like they're in a place of home. Look, I know that we can sometimes feel ripped off. Lydda inspires me because she not only opened her heart and her home once, but twice with this rabble. Just last night, I felt really ripped off, actually, because I'm watching the news seeing that a person I opened my heart and my home up to many, many times and made available my children's lives too, tried to escape from Grenfell Prison and is now called by the media as the worst murderer in Perth. Now, I don't know how good a host I feel knowing that, because just the day before, she put someone in a wheelie bin. She was in my home. It could have been my kids. Sometimes we have to take risks, and I'm not saying I took good ones. It was very complex. But I think even though we're ripped off, we have to have the courage to go back and do it again, perhaps with a bit more discernment this time. Making church a place to call home for yourself and for others can then be very difficult, and many leave the path because it's fraught with danger. So let's stick to the basics of the early church, perhaps. Not to promote a TV show too much. Some of you mightn't even have TVs, I don't know. I'm interested tonight in watching to find out how the writers portray Sarah's response to settling into a household, to putting out her welcome mat and receiving the hospitality of Roy, and how it helps her feel more at home in her neighbourhood, in a community that's really been quite rejecting of her in different ways. Well, some have accepted her. And perhaps we can learn a little bit from this on how we can do it better. Look, thank you for having me today. I bought my own welcome mat and put it outside the door. I don't know if you noticed as you came over, but I really felt able to. I've got to tell you that. I experienced you guys at Easter camp and at other times with David. I felt able to bring my welcome mat and put it down and walk confidently over that. So thank you for the privilege of being here and allowing me to launch into this service today of speaking with you. And I hope that you continue to be very intentional about how you do hospitality here and be ecclesia in this area. Let's stand then and have a time of silence to let these things and these thoughts dwell, both as intercession, devotion, and discernment. Please stand together.